Romans 8:35 through the end of the chapter, Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, we do come before you this morning, Lord, asking your blessings on our time, Lord, asking that you would bind every distraction, Lord. I love it when I come in and this message is preached 2, 3, and 4 times before I even stand up here, Lord. I thank you for your word that comes through, Lord. I thank you for your spirit that guides and directs us, Lord, that you would direct our time as we finish our service this morning, Lord, that you would indeed be glorified. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, well, it has been a full week. We did some new things. We had the movie night. And on Wednesday, we had pears. We had 350 pounds of pears to give away on Wednesday. And we were a bit surprised because we ordered oranges. Now, when these are delivered with a forklift, it is a challenge to return them. So he looked at them and passed them off. But indeed, you know, and pears are good. Amen? I mean, pears are good. But I do believe that they pale in comparison to an orange. And this is, this is not a navel, is it? There's no navel on it. It's a Valencia? And one good, you know what, I love tangerines. You know what I love a lot about oranges? Some of them, you know, they just almost like peel themselves. You know, that peel just, especially on a tangerine or a tangelo. Oh, man, it's just like, just grab that thing, and it's just, oh, yeah, look at that. Just, whoo, it is just so easy. And then, you know, you got your oranges, they're just rolling, and some of them are not like that. You know, it's like you got to go prehistoric on these things because you start peeling that baby off, man. It's like, whoa, what is up with that? It's like the peel is glued on. You know, you got to go with your teeth, you know. You know what I'm talking about? You get that, like, stuff all over your lips, you know, and it's like, ah, I'm all puckered up. And then you start pulling it off, and big chunks of orange are coming off with the peel, you know. And it's just like, man, it's like it won't come off. Paul's talking about the Christian and the love of God. He says, you can't get it off. There are going to be those that will try. We are in this series, culminating the last section of Romans, encouraged to engage. 3-part series through Romans started off with being chained, and Paul sets the foundation of being chained in sin. And then he moves into what Christ has done on the cross and what the Holy Spirit calls us out of darkness and gives us the opportunity to choose. And many of you have made the choice to come out of chains and come out of darkness and move into the light of God. Amen? Now, as we come to the end of Romans, Paul is going to tell us how to engage in that new life in Christ. Because there are some changes that need to take place. Amen? Amen? We see action. The action of God as he displays his love into our lives. You see the action of Christ on the cross, dying for us. We see the action of the Holy Spirit coming into us and breathing life into our spirit where there was only death. Amen? Love of God. Paul says we're going to see more of it. We see it in the glorification of Christ that is coming, that we can indeed participate in that. And then Paul describes an effort to pull us away from the love of God. You're going to grab on to the love of God. You're going to engage in the life of God. You've got to grab on so that you can engage. Amen? Because there will be those who are going to try and peel you off. And the real question is, at the end, what are you going to look like? Peeled off? Peeled intact. We're talking about grabbing onto God today. Amen?
Amen.
We're talking about? I hope so. I hope so. All right. But it's going to go back to 8:28. All right. Just read this one verse. And we know, this is the one Paul, Pastor Scott talked about. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. God is working it out. We are challenged to proceed in our Christian life. There are challenges to our progress, but if we are going to proceed, we have to go through the challenges. Amen? I believe that's what Pastor Scott talked about when he was up here having communion. God is on our side. Amen?
Amen?
Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Oh, man, it's the good times. It's the good stuff. But we do need to take a look at the context of what Paul is talking about here. Amen? Because if you go back to verse 18 of Romans 8, and it says, I consider that our present, what's that word?
Suffering.
You know, it's kind of like if God is for us, who can be against us? And then we got suffering. And we're thinking, hey, wait a minute, wait a minute. I didn't sign up for this. I signed up for the good times. I signed up for the good stuff. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to that glory. We got glory sitting right there. Glory that will be. That's her name for those of you who are visiting. The glory that will be revealed in us. It appears that the things that God is working for our good are challenging. And you think about it. I mean, you get that new job, you know, and somebody comes up to you and says, hey, God's really working for the good in that new job. And you're going, well, of course. You get, you know, that new car, and somebody comes up and grabs on you and says, God's working for the good in that new car. And, well, of course. And even new shoes, man. You go, hey, I got some new shoes. And somebody comes up and says, God's really working for the good. You say, well, of course. But realistically, we don't need any encouragement in the good times. It's in the challenging times. When we need somebody like Paul to come up to us and say, God is working for the good in the midst of your challenge. And you go, really? Man, I needed that word. See, we are challenged to proceed. It's in the suffering that we are challenged to find good. Pastor Scott talked about James chapter 1. Consider it pure joy. Now, I don't know what your joy level was like this week. Because some of you might have been, you know, having the shoes. Look at this. Hey! There's joy there. Joy! Joy! But that's not the kind of joy that James is talking about. Pure joy, my brothers and my sisters. Whenever you face trials. Anybody had trials this week? Were you finding joy in the midst of them? That's what Rogi was talking about. That guy took my pit. He wants me to watch his surfboard, paddleboard. Yeah, I'm going to break that thing when he's gone. I'm going to burn it up. That's what I'm going to do. We know that in all things God works for the good for those who love him, especially in the trials. He says, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. That means that you get to go through tough times longer without quitting. Because there are those who will quit. quitters get peeled away from the love of God. But you go through the challenge, you learn perseverance, and you learn to grab on to the love of God so that you can engage in the purpose of God for your life. Amen?
Amen.
So you count it pure joy when those trials come so that your faith can be developed and matured. And good things will happen to you. Amen?
Amen.
Good things happen in the midst of challenge. They are hard, but they are good. Let's continue on. And we know, read that first, and just kind of get a running start on it and finish reading the next three verses. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Notice there's a lot of people, I want to be called to God for my purpose. You know, it's not my purpose up there, it is his purpose. God calls us to a new purpose, to get off your purpose and onto his purpose. Amen? And then you get to suffer and you get through challenges so that you can be better at what? His purpose. You say, why do I want to sign up for that? Well, it's that whole glory thing on the end. Can I get a witness on that? Because if you get to the end without the glory, it is a bad end. Amen? I just want to let you know, everybody lives forever. You just kind of figuring out where you're going to spend eternity. You can be with the Lord or in some other place that is not good. Amen? He says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. You can underline that part in your Bibles if you have it. Then, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Paul describes progress in the plan of God. Foreknew, predestined, called, justified, and glorified. He is talking about the third one here in this paragraph. Those God called. He has talked previously in Romans about being justified, that as you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, that God applies the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross that Pastor Scott talked about this morning. He applies it to your account, that you are justified, that you are declared pure and clean and righteous, just as pure and clean and righteous as the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That's an important part. I kind of back up a little bit and talk about that. Now, we talked about just a moment of the glorification that we shall participate in, the glory of Jesus Christ that is coming in the future. And so we see these things, and what Paul is doing is he is moving from the past that God knew everybody who would be saved before the creation of the world. Amen? And there is a glorification that is going to happen to us in Christ as he appears and claims us as his own, and there's a meeting in the sky. Amen? And so Paul is talking about past and future, and I talked about justification for just a second. I mean, each one of those, you could have a sermon on the whole thing. In fact, guys write books about each one of those topics. But I don't want to get tied up in all those topics and lose sight of the plan. We're supposed to look like Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Glory's coming. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. But the purpose God wants to have happen in you is that you would become to look like Jesus. That's why challenges come our way. Because, quite frankly, you got some ugly on you that doesn't look like Jesus. And it's got to come off. And how it comes off is through the challenges and the hardships and the suffering that we go through now. So that when we show up to the glory time, we'll be looking more like Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
There was a sculptor that was asked about, famous guy, so famous, I don't know his name. But he was talking about sculpting, and he talked about asked about sculpting a lion. And he says, what I do is I get a big old piece of granite, piece of rock, that I'm going to turn into a lion, and I picture the lion in the middle of this giant block of rock. And then all I do is I just start removing everything that's not lion. And that's what the Lord has for you. He starts pulling everything off that's not Jesus, so that when we show up, we're going to be looking like Jesus. Amen? I take it I'm not loud enough out there? Turn me down a little bit. I don't think it's me. I don't think it's me. Just mute everything else out there, JJ, except for me. All righty. Anyway, well, thank you for that Mr. Aaron. We don't want anybody hearing a high-pitched squealing noise. Could you be somebody who's just a little uncomfortable with a message today? Inside, they're just going, yeah. Anyway, that's a little bit of Jesus sliding off, chipping it off. See, and through that process, you have got to grab on. You got to grab on to God if you are going to engage in his plan, because it is not an easy plan. Amen? All right. Barriers to progress. You will run into them. We're going to decipher what Paul is talking about here. We go to verse 31. It says, what then shall we say in response to this? The plan of God, the purpose of God, suffering, all that stuff. What Christ has done on the cross. What should we say in response to all this? The fact that you were in bondage to sin, and that God has given you the opportunity to choose to come out of that life and to grab a new life and to be transformed in the purpose of your life. Amen? Therefore, that's what he's talking about. In regards to all this, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Folks, we got a list of adversaries. 1 Peter 5:8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, say enemy. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. Now, do you think he's against us? Do you think he's against us? Jesus tells us that we're going to be hated by the world. Anybody remember that part? Peter and Paul are killed in Rome. This letter is written to the Roman church. Killed in Rome by Nero. I dare say that we do have some adversaries. Amen? So we say, what is Paul talking about here? Might read this as, if God is for us, who's going to win against us? God is for us. God is on our side. He is active. He gave up his son. He sends his spirit. Who is going to win against that? No one. There are those that will try. Can I get a witness on? Maybe you ran into a little opposition this week. Maybe you felt the minions of the evil one coming against you. And you're thinking, man, this is so hard. Can I get a witness? Am I the only one? Say, oh yeah, I got some adversaries. Who's going to win? No one. The Holy Ghost. Amen. Power of God. Living in me. Living in us. Living in you. But you got to grab on to engage. Amen? Amen? You don't grab on, you're going to be naked. Peeled off the love of God. And just be rolling on your own. Amen? All right, where are we at here? What does all this mean? God is for us. Who can be against us? He's given us everything. He's not going to pull back now. I mean, here we are living lives in the midst of suffering. What does it mean? Got to grab on. 8:17, Romans 8, verse 17 says that we're co-heirs with Christ. That glory's coming. In the midst of our suffering, there's nothing that is going to prevail against you to keep you from walking into that glory. Amen? All right. We're in line to receive everything. Okay. Heading into court. Paul kind of shifts his little argument, I shouldn't have said it like that. Paul shifts his view and shifts on to a different aspect. He said, who will bring any charge against us? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Has God chosen you this morning? Yes. Has God called you out of darkness? Is the Holy Spirit working in your life? Yes. Or are you sitting here and that's what Aaron is hearing? Yeah! Freaking out, because that's what it feels like, man. The Holy Ghost on you, squeezing your heart. Oh, and you ain't in the family. He says, who is going to bring charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. It is God who makes a declaration that his children are cleansed from sin because of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Amen? Amen. Who's going to bring a charge against that? Who's going to make that stick? Who is he that condemns? It's Jesus who condemns. Wait a minute, Jesus is too nice to condemn. I guess we can't believe Paul then. Jesus Christ who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. And what we have is a picture of a courtroom and say, who's going to bring a charge against you? And I'm telling him, we still got that same list of adversaries. Job chapter 2, verse 3. Then my Lord said to Satan, who was in proximity to God, God seated on his throne, possibly. Satan is in the throne room of God, and God says, hey, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God. And if you know the story of Job, Satan begins to start up on Job. We got a worthy adversary. We have pictures of a courtroom. We have pictures of Satan that would bring charges against God's chosen. Say, who is he that justifies? It's God. And if you've seen any, I don't watch CIS. CIS is what it's called, right? CIS. Perry Mason. I don't know what other Perry Mason shows there are out now. I don't watch them either. But, these guys that come up with all these arguments, he didn't tie the shoelaces, so we're going to throw this whole court out. And they go, oh, he didn't tie the shoelaces. It's out of here. But you know what? God does everything right. Amen? He hasn't made a mistake yet. Can I get a witness on that? And so who's going to bring a charge against the justification process that God makes and have it stick? No one. And then he says, who's going to bring this accusation against the judge? And in this crazy twist of fate, our judge is our Lord. Picture of, this is just an artist rendering, obviously not a photo, of the white throne judgment. Revelations chapter 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it, and earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. Our judge, he who condemns, he who says you are guilty, he who says you are going to hell, he who says I never knew you, get away from me. He is the one who died on the cross for us. He is the one who made the sacrifice. And when you show up before him, he's going to say, Paul Simpson, you are my boy. You are declared clean and righteous. And there could be opponents in the room saying, oh, yeah. What are they going to say? Jesus said, I died for him. I'm the judge. Many of you, some of you don't know Pastor Dave. He's on staff here. Last month had to go back to Iowa. His mother was at the town, county, I don't know, state fair, whatever in Iowa. How big is Iowa? Anyway, I don't know. But She grabbed onto a railing that was loose. In fact, other people had been injured. She's 88 years old, snapped her wrist and shattered her shoulder. And so he's back there taking, or actually he was already back there getting his eyes checked out, taking care of mom, and running into nothing but obstacles in trying to get the care for his mom. He said, Pastor Bob, you know, it's like all these problems. And she said she fell down at the fair and that there was damage to this railing and they came and they fixed it after the incident and all this kind of stuff. I said, what are you worried about all this stuff, man? Fair is paying for everything. Well, I said, get an attorney, man. Just let him deal with it. So fine, he's trying to fight. We're not people like that. We don't just sue everybody. I'm like, dude, this is your mom, bud. You need to get cared for here. So about a week later, he says, well, I'm going to get an attorney. He goes to the attorneys. No one in the whole town will take his case because they all have a conflict of interest because they all represent other people that are involved with the fair. And he's talking to the guy. He says, you're not going to find one attorney in this town that can take the case because of conflict of interest. And they're afraid that the attorney or whatever would not treat his mom right because they have a different client. Are you tracking with me on this? And so they have to recluse themselves, or they have to say, I can't do it. And so we come to the great white throne. And the judge is the accuser. And he's also he who died for us. The judge is totally for you. But he's not going to let you slide. Because he's also the accuser. He's incredibly just. He's totally for you, totally for justice. And so with all confidence, Paul says, who's going to bring a charge against you? When your sacrifice is your judge. Amen? That's good, isn't it? Isn't that good? You can download that picture later. Ask me for a picture, I'll give it to you. All righty. That's why Paul starts off chapter 8. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because he who condemns is Christ. And when you're in him, you got nothing to worry about. Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. All righty, here we go. Victory requires resistance. And everybody's been up here today, been talking about that. Verses 35 through 37, Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We will run into our challenges. We will run into challenges on our grip on the love of God. What are they? They are trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, and sword. We are talking about these things will be used to peel you off of the love of God. And we've already taken a look at, there's nothing that's going to peel the love of God off of you. So the only thing left that the enemy has to try is to try to peel you off of the love of God. And so these things come. And the Lord, you say, well, why didn't the Lord just stop them from coming? Because these are the very things that cause you to look more like Jesus. Amen? As you go through trouble, as you endure hardship and persecution, as you go through those things, your grip on God becomes stronger. Your perseverance increases. You're able to go through longer stuff, harder stuff. Famine, nakedness. Nakedness, man, when you're out there in the cold with no clothes on. When you're in a dungeon with no clothes on. I'm not talking about going to the strip joint. Being enticed by sin. We are talking about famine, persecution, danger, and sword. Talk about the kind of crud that they're going through in, with ISIS in Syria, in Iraq, where they are just killing people left and right because they love the Lord. Chopping babies' heads off. Torture. Terrible stuff. He says, we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. That comes from Psalm 44:22. You're going to run into this stuff. You're going to have to grab on to engage. Paul says, in all these things we're more than conquerors. And you're sitting there wondering, man, could I conquer this? Could I find strength in this? There's some who won't. There are challenges that people don't make through. There is a danger that you will be peeled off from the family of God. Say, wait a minute. Well, let me just get you some word here. I am astonished, Paul writing to the church in Galatia. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you. Same kind of words we're using up here, right? I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. See, there's deception, there's famine, there's torture, there's sword, there's all that stuff. You're going to make it through. You're going to have to grab on tight to the love of God so that you can engage in the purpose of God, which is that you might look more like Christ at the end of your life here. Amen? I was getting stronger amens earlier when we were talking about, we're more than conquerors. Oh, yeah, say that. Hey, I'll tell you what, you don't find victory without a challenge, amen? Victory requires resistance. You're going to find victory. Josh Godday, last night, 93-yard touchdown run. Only as good if there's another team there. If there's no other team, we're just sitting there going, why wasn't 100? Come on, there wasn't anybody else on the field. See, your victory doesn't mean anything without opposition.
That's right.
And so the Lord allows opposition to come against you so that you can celebrate. Woo! Man, I got some victory this week. That's why Roki was up here shaking, going, I'm scared right now. But man, I had some victory last week, and it was all Holy Ghost inspired.
Amen?
Amen? Amen? Amen? Come on now. All right, here we go. We're getting done here. He says, four. Now, this is, you didn't underline this. I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels or demons, present, future, powers, height or depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, I am believing this for you. I am believing that you are so secure in Christ that you have learned how to grab onto the Holy Ghost. That you have found out that when you are weak, he is strong. That you can make it through any challenge. That's why Paul says, hey, I've been going through it for a little while. You can't do that. There are those that will fall away. Paul is confident. I hope today that you are confident. That you are confident because you have grabbed on to the Holy Spirit in your life previously. And know that when the next challenge comes, you can grab on again. Amen? You can rest in the power and the provision of God. You can't rest in the power and provision of God like you've got a vet. Corvette, for those of you who are not tracking with me. Oh, yeah, I got the power and the presence of God in my vet. No, man, it is when you are walking away from your busted down Volkswagen that you are going to have the power and presence of God that this is not going to derail me. Can I get a witness on that? And so as you come through that, I'll tell you what, I remember driving with my wonderful wife from Ensenada to Tecate in a 1961 1100cc Volkswagen with half of the motor, man, the engine, yeah, but it's the whole rockers assembly and everything, man. I was running one cylinder. Like God was holding together, and I was going like 15 miles an hour, maybe 10. I say, God was my motor that day. Amen. I'll tell you what, when God's your motor, get on down the road, You can learn to trust the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus told his disciples attack was going to come against them. It says, whenever you are arrested, see, we think, many of us think that because we're Christians, we're never going to be arrested. Paul says, Jesus says, when you're arrested, you're going to get arrested. Why? Because you know me. They hated me, they're going to hate you. What? I just want everybody to get along. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it's not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. The enemy will come to peel you off the family of God. But it is the Holy Spirit that is holding you on. Grab onto God. Grab onto God. Engage in his program. Make you look like our Lord Jesus Christ. We had somebody come up here and play the guitar for me, please. We're ending our time. Leave you with something this morning. It is the Holy Spirit that helps us in our weakness. But you must realize that you are weak so that he can be strong. For you to realize that you're weak, there must be challenges that come that expose that weakness. That is why your week might not have been as smooth as you would have liked it to be. It is so that God can say, I am here to help you. And we can realize how much help we really need. Amen?
Amen.
Sister over here coughing. Some of us had our whole week coughing. Lord says, you're sick, you need to be healed. Lord says, you're broken, I can put you back together again. Lord says, you're weak, I'm strong. Amen? Maybe you're here this morning. You're saying, I got some weakness. You're saying, I've had a week and I've been trying to make it on my own. And then, Lord, I haven't been grabbing on very tight. And realistically, Lord, I still look the same way I did beginning of last week. Got no ugly coming off of me, Lord. I've been doing it all on my own. Maybe you're here this morning and you felt like making that high-pitched whining sound that the Holy Spirit is saying, you are not in the family of God. You are not in line for glory. You have been flying solo your whole life, and you're flying solo right now. I'm going to give you the opportunity, the Holy Spirit says, not me, to jump out of that driver's seat and jump in the back seat. Maybe just jump out and get on the back of the plane and let the Holy Spirit begin to steer your life. Nobody looking around this morning, but right now the Holy Spirit is just speaking to your heart, saying, aren't you glad you came to church today so I could tell you all this stuff? You need complete surrender. You need sacrifice of Jesus on the cross applied to your account, because right now you're headed for hell. And it's time to make an abrupt turn and get some of that ugly off you this morning. Nobody looking around, but the Holy Spirit is speaking right to your heart. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, oh God, I want to leave in the driver's seat. Lord, I want to let you drive. Lord, I just want to be in the back of the bus. Lord, I want you to start working on me. Lord, I want to have a complete makeover. And I'm ready to start this morning. Back here, 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 back there. Yes, amen. You can put your hands down. You're freaking out right now thinking, oh, I missed out. One more moment. You didn't put your hand up. The Lord's just on you. Say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Anybody else, just slide your hand up rapidly. Didn't put your hand up before. Oh, yeah, here and here. Anybody else? Lord, I thank you for these that are here, Lord. I thank you for those, Lord, that got out the driver's seat right now, Lord. And right now, Lord, we just pray right now that you would just come into their lives, Lord. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, Lord, you put your arms around them and begin to guide them and direct them, Lord, through every challenge, every hardship, that you would be glorified in them. One last thing. You sidestepped some challenges this week. Just whoo! You were kind of running on natural. And right now the Lord just said, you know what? I had a little testimony just like Roki for you, but you sidestepped it. You stepped right around that whole challenge rather than grow and be transformed. I used to hate it when that happened to me. Oh, Lord, because I knew I had to wait. I hate waiting. I had to wait to come up again, and then I had the chance of getting it or missing it. You missed one this week. Nobody looking around, you just say, just raising your hand, say, oh, Lord, I know I missed it. Lord, give me another shot. I want to be your child. I want you to work on me, Lord. I want your power. I want to grab on so I can engage into the process of being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Here, here. You missed one last week. And you're saying, Lord, send another one my way. Anybody else? Here, yeah, there, yeah. Anybody else? There, yeah. Glory to God, glory to God. Let's all stand. We're going to sing a song or two. You want to pray? Worship team is coming up. You want to pray, don't eat my orange. You want to pray, come on up. And we're just going to worship God for a moment or two. Amen? Hallelujah.